and hit the record button, sir. Just as a formality, I just need you to state your name and title, please, for the record.
Sure. Andrew Ginther, Mayor of the City of Columbus.
Okay, great. Well, you know I'm calling to talk about the Short North CRA, and I'll go ahead and jump right in. You know, doing a little bit of research and talking to folks, tax abatements are generally used to do what the private sector can't. For instance, when we had the downtown redevelopment and revitalization, it was really expensive to do that. But in a neighborhood as popular as the
We're not done with that yet, by the way.
Okay,
there's still a lot to go
sure.
On in downtown. It's not as if our work there is complete.
Right. So. Well, I wasn't yeah. insinuating that. But
yeah.
In a neighborhood as popular as the Short North, how does the city defend tax abatements in that neighborhood?
Well, obviously, anybody that was born and raised in this city knows what the Short North was like 35 years ago, and it has come a long way in those last, I'd say especially in the last 20 years, and that has been in part due to the great public-private partnerships that have been in place to help create a district there that we use to market our community all over the world. So we're excited about the track record and success. But that's why this incentive study is so important. One of the first things I did when I became mayor was talk to Director Shoney and his team about, you know, all the incentives that are in place, all the tools that we have available to us, and whether or not we had done a comprehensive study on what is most effective, whether or not those incentives or community reinvestment areas ought to stay in place, should they be altered, amended. Because one of my key priorities, as you know, and we talk about it all the time around here, is neighborhoods, neighborhoods, neighborhoods. And so there are neighborhoods out there that haven't shared in the success story that is Columbus, especially since the recovery over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. And so how can we use incentives and other tools to help spur private investment and public and private partnerships in neighborhoods like the Hilltop, Linden, and other places? We got a great track record of that using CRAs, and whether it was in Harrison West and the old AC Humco site, the work that our partners Homeport, Habitat for Humanity, Greater Linden Development Corporation are doing in Linden. Obviously, the transformation of Wyland Park was done through the use of CRAs. So we believe that they're a great tool, and we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can as a city to make sure that we're being competitive and lifting up and improving quality of life in neighborhoods.
In 2014, City Council expanded the Short North CRA to include an additional project and permit a 15-year 100% abatement on new construction projects. Under the basis, the City Council was given an exhibit that showed some homes and housing projects were in disrepair and discouraging new development and new residents in the Short North. And that was kind of the part of the reason why it expanded this CRA to allow for that new project and those abatements. You know, given the state of the Short North, Mayor, you know, such a happening place to live, was the situation really that dire? I just wonder if folks, you know, think that the Short North really needs tax abatements on folks who can afford $500,000 homes down there. So was the situation that dire? Were people not moving in? Was there really not new development?
Well, if you're suggesting that the administration misled council in 2014, I would disagree with that presumption and that statement. You know, there are areas within all of the CRAs that need additional investment and focus and attention. And, you know, when that legislation came before council in 2014, I was the council president. We all agreed that we thought by continuing our focus and helping to secure and drive private investment in the Short North and in CRAs throughout the city. The important part to remember about CRAs and abatements, Mandy, is that the ongoing tax revenue property tax, based on the valuation when the abatement goes into place, continues to flow. So the school district, the county levy agencies aren't out anything. And then at the end of that abatement period, there's a significant flow of revenue to Children's Services, the school district, Adam H., and other levy agencies. So, that's the important part to remember, is the abatement is taking place on added valuation, increased property value, not on the existing property value and taxes being paid at the time of the CRA starts and begins.
Well, Auditor Mingo would argue something completely different, that the schools are losing out on a lot of money and other services are losing out on those abatements because of the property. You know, the taxpayers are still paying on the land, but they're not paying on the property value of that house. So, I mean, what would you say to him? You know, he says it's a something totally different.
Auditor Mingo is certainly entitled to his opinion, but the facts state otherwise, and that is that, property values, and property owners continue to pay taxes based on the valuation when the CRA begins, and at the end of that abatement period, there is a dramatic increase in revenue that flows to levy agencies, the schools, and otherwise, and this is why we've been working so hard to take a look at other incentives. We have performance-based incentives around income tax revenue and TIFs and other tools that we continue to use so that we don't simply rely on abatements. You look at cities across the country, and you oftentimes have mayors that only view and use tax abatements because oftentimes that doesn't put any city resources at risk. We believe differently, and that's why we've worked very hard in the last 10 years, especially, to go more to these performance-based incentives for commercial development and office space development to ensure that we're not simply relying on property tax abatements. But these community reinvestment areas are an important part of our success story as a city, and that's why this study is so important, to make sure that we're continuing to use them in places that make sense, potentially ending or, amending the way that they exist in certain neighborhoods, and to try to drive private sector investment into neighborhoods that need our help: Hilltop, Linden, Marin, Franklin, other neighborhoods around the city.
Well, you touched on a few things that I definitely wanted to ask you about. Let's start with, economic growth, driving people into areas like the Short North. How much does the city make up in economic development from those property taxes that are temporarily lost from the abated properties, and how do you track that success?
Well, a lot of that success is tracked through the development department, and I know that Cynthia Rickman and Director Schoening could get you some of the details on those successes. But as you know, our public-private partnerships throughout the city have yielded huge results with respect to job creation, private investment. The public-private partnerships that we have in place, I think for every dollar the city spends, we get $37 of private sector investment. So we're excited about that and, want to continue to build on that success.
I want to talk really quickly about, you mentioned some other neighborhoods and, Linden and Hilltop, and those areas have had CRAs or what's called a NID in the past. There are calls for a CRA program in another part of the city, kind of in and around that casino area, the Georgesville Road area. How seriously is the will City Council, City Hall take those requests for a CRA out there to get some private development out there in an area that has really been desolate for so long?
Well, we believe that CRAs are a good tool. They're one tool. Obviously we're going to look to that area and that neighborhood of the far west side, but that's why this study is so important. And as far as we know, a study like this has never been done in the city's history. And so as we begin our tenure and work as an administration, it was a top priority for us to you know, take a comprehensive, in-depth look at CRAs and TIFs and performance-based incentives and everything else that we can use and leverage as a city to drive economic development and neighborhood development to make sure that we're using all the tools available to us in a strategic way to improve the quality of life in our neighborhood. So that's why the study is so important. I've got to hop off here.
I did have one final question. Yep. In the Short North, the exhibit that City Council got back in 2014 that showed those rundown properties that were saying that they were in disrepair and needed, help.
Yep.
To encourage people, none of those properties took advantage of the abatement. Is the abatement going after its intended targets then? Is it working?
So again, if your question is whether or not the Short North is better than it was 20 years ago, I think the facts speak for themselves. Community reinvestment areas and all the other work that we've done in partnership with private sector leaders, developers, the success story of the Short North is a great testimony when, government, private sector leaders and developers and community and neighborhood leaders work together. And it is now one of our leading examples of great public-private partnerships that we take around the country and the world. So, CRAs work. We think they can work better, and that's why we're studying it, to make sure that it's having its intended impact on neighborhoods throughout our great city.
Was the Short North, though, in 2012 in such dire straits that it needed the CRA?
Yes. You said that was your final question, so I've got to get going.
You can't say, though, for sure that
Mandy,
the CRA...
I've already answered the question.
You're
entitled to your opinion, and you've asked the question. I've answered it.
Well, it's not really an opinion. It's asking a question that in 2012, the Short North appears to be booming. Did it really need a tax abatements for new development and new homes in that area?
I've already answered the question several times. So,
and was the answer yes? Because
that it is not, and that it's not worked, and the Short North's been an abject failure, and that's wrong. Facts don't speak to that, and you have all the records and information you need to speak to that. So.
No, the opinion, I don't have an opinion whether it's failed or not. I'm asking if the area really needed tax abatements back in 2012, just 4 years ago.
Okay. Thanks, Mandy.
Thanks, Mayor.